This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Theatre, film, TV and more. Susie Rong reviews it all on Joy Drive.
Hello, Susie Rong.
Hello, Warren. Do you know about this thing called inner child meditation?
Yes.
It's good.
Do you?
Have you experienced it?
This is where you go back to yourself. What's the word? There's a word for it. It's almost like your intrinsic self.
Yourself.
Before you're contaminated by the world.
Exactly. That's right.
And we are contaminated, Susie Rong.
In nice ways and in bad ways as well.
Yes, I do. I do know about that. There's amazing power of healing, some claim.
Yeah, I did it once a long time ago. I was reminded of this from watching this week's show, you know, because...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because Pee Wee Herman is all about being kind of childlike and, in a way, innocent. It reminded me of what was quite a powerful experience. I never did it again because it is quite demanding of your energy and kind of your commitment to the time and the... And all that.
I've done it with my psychologist a few times where I closed my eyes and I've imagined the little me at school or whatever. Let's say bullying was happening or something. And then I imagine me at my age now going and going up to the little me and saying what I needed to hear as a kid. And it's quite powerful. It's really powerful. And it also highlights the inadequacies of those that were meant to be looking after you at the time, you know, the teachers, etc., what they should have been perhaps doing. But I tell you what, some of the stuff that comes out of my mouth when I go back and talk to some of those teachers.
I never had that experience of going back to talking to other people. But that experience of me kind of revisiting myself as a child, even though I only actually did the actual meditation that one time, I think that kind of stuck with me a lot. And often I get little flashbacks of, or just, you know, just like reminder of thinking of, oh, remember when you met yourself as a child, you were much kinder to yourself. Yeah, and you remember what that person needed, and that shouldn't be very different from what you need right now. And, you know, the world kind of changes you so much that you're almost kind of gaslit into thinking that, oh, you are a completely different person with completely different needs. But I think there's some essential things that remain that a person forgets with age, and it's really good to remember the pure and the innocence.
And the other—that's it. It's pure and it's innocence, isn't it? And that's the other thing that I think strikes me by doing this sort of work is you go back and you think, oh my goodness, it was such a simple oversight that happened in terms of what perhaps a kid needed at the time. Maybe it was just, hey, you're okay, you're fine. There's nothing wrong with you. A big hug. Simple things. The lack of those simple things have a profound impact in adult life. And that's
for me, it's a lot about all the kind of self-protective things that a person accrues over time, you know, and some of them are helpful, and actually some of them I would say you only need for a short time, but because they become habitual. And I think this sort of inner child idea helps me kind of sift through all that and think, oh, actually, you don't really need that way of dealing with things anymore. Or thinking, oh, you know, that method of doing these things are not the best. So I found it really helpful to find a way to reclaim that innocence and purity.
One of the things that I do, Susie, is I imagine one of those big wooden school rulers, they were like a metre long or something.
Yeah.
I imagine something like that, but instead of the 1 centimetre, 2 centimetre, et cetera, on them, the scale, I imagine the first year is the year I was born up until the present, and each mark is a year in time. And often when I react to things, I try and point on this imaginary ruler as to where that feeling is coming from, as to what was it that made me start to feel this way? What was the actual event that happened? And sometimes I can come up with it, sometimes I can't. But I really like that. It just reminds me that, hang on, my reaction that's happening now is likely due to something that happened when I was a kid, and I try and pinpoint on this imaginary ruler when that time was. For me, that's a tool that I have that really helps, and it explains a lot of behavior.
Yeah, it's important to understand where how we act, you know, the root causes of a lot of how we respond to the world. Sometimes we kind of respond without really thinking, because it just becomes a habitual thing.
Instantly go back to that point in time.
Yeah, and sometimes it is conflicting with what your actual nature is, because the world does require to twist around quite a lot. And the idea that there is an inner child that might be different, that you can find a way to revert to, I think is very nice.
It just sounds so appealing. Wouldn't it be great if we could immerse ourselves in some liquid, and this liquid just... Remember there was a balm. I remember there was some sort of balm. I don't know what it was, like magnoplasm or something. We get splinters out. You put it on your skin, if you've got a splinter, and somehow it would draw it out of your skin. Imagine if you could just bathe in it and it drew out all the bad experiences, and we went back. You came out of this stuff and you were back
to your innocent self. It's unlikely that all of it can be drawn out, but I think a lot of work, you know, a lot of introspection, just working on yourself, it's possible to unlearn a lot of stuff. And the place to start is just to find an awareness of where all this stuff's come from.
Now, Susie, we watched a documentary this week. It was called Pee-wee as Himself. Did you know about Pee-wee?
Yes, I did. I never saw his programs back in the day, because I don't think they were available in Singapore. But because he was such a big international celebrity, and I was always very much into pop culture and celebrity, I knew of him. Yeah.
Okay. I have to admit, I hadn't watched any of his shows before, but we watched the documentary, Pee-wee as Himself. Susie, give us your review.
Do you want to say that again?
Review. I bit my tongue yesterday, and right on the end of my tongue is a little thing. And sometimes when my teeth touch the spot.
Review. We won't ask you how you bit your tongue. Anyway, my review is as follows. The late Pee Wee Herman was very famous in the late 80s. He had a successful children's TV program in the USA on CBS Saturday mornings, and had released a couple of movies that appealed to both young and old. In 1991, however, Pee Wee made international news when he was arrested at an adult movie theater for indecent exposure and public masturbation. The new documentary, Pee Wee as Himself, streaming on the new platform Max, reminds us of that immense fall from grace at a time when queer people were routinely persecuted for whatever little excuse authorities could find. Pee-wee instantly became a pariah of Hollywood, even though he denied the charges, which were always very trivial anyway. Several years later, just as he was gradually returning to the limelight, another scandal breaks in which Pee-wee was accused of being in possession of child pornography, which we see in the documentary to be a totally false accusation. It is these tussles with the law and law enforcement that makes Pee-wee as Himself a riveting watch. Pee-wee's story represents a small but significant part of queer history, in which we observe the readiness with which legal systems were positioned to attack us. For many years, I had wondered why Pee-wee never properly came out as gay, and in truth, I remain resentful of rich, famous, and powerful people who refuse to help with that burden of being out and proud. But the documentary demonstrates clearly the ferocity and ruthlessness that queer people had to face in times past. Aside from legal matters, Pee-wee as Himself has another big draw card, and that is Pee-wee's own screen charisma. His real name was Paul Rubens, and here we encounter a man who was at least as charming as his alter ego, recounting key elements of his personal history in a completely entrancing way. Warren, what were your memories, if any, of Pee-wee Herman in the 80s and 90s?
No, I'd never seen Pee-wee Herman. I'd never watched him on television at all, so I didn't know. So it was all news to me, but I didn't grow up with Pee-wee at all. But looking at it now, that Playhouse you know, the world. It was a real fantasy space, wasn't it, for anyone, I suppose, who never felt like they belonged in the real space. I can see what the appeal would have been, having this charismatic character on screen who was different somehow, and it would have been attractive to think, oh, I want to be in that space.
He built a very colourful world. At that time, I was, you know, getting into teenage years, so it all felt a little bit juvenile to me. I never really saw any episodes, I don't think, but from clips and, you know, images in magazines that I remember, I thought it looked like it was, it wasn't really a child's program. It has so much camp in it that even at the age of, I remember maybe 13, 14, it was resonating, because, you know, at that age, you get embarrassed. You get embarrassed when like things are queer, and you kind of get an idea that, oh, it's about that stuff, and you get really embarrassed. And Pee Wee Herman was quite, intriguing. And, was scary for me in that way. I felt like, oh, I can't say that I like Pee Wee Herman, because then people will find out that I'm queer. Because he seems so incredibly queer to me. Yet his fame was about a children's program.
We're chatting with Susie Rong about the documentary Pee-wee as Himself. Susie, it's kind of wild watching the reaction to his arrest, you know, the backlash. It wasn't just a moral outrage. It was like they were waiting for him to slip up. And it's almost like Pee-wee was too weird, too different, and people were there, you know, they were ready to pull him down. What do you reckon? Do you think they were waiting?
I wonder if it is that thing where I said he comes across camp, but because he didn't attach any queerness to it, you know, he associated his campness with sort of a childlike quality. So people, I guess, had to take him for his word, you know, because they were very good at denying gayness anyway. You know, mainstream culture was all about denying anything that looked obviously queer at that stage, just saying that, oh, it's not that he's gay. He's just a bit colorful. Oh, it's not that he's gay. He's just, you know, he's like a child. So when the opportunity arose to attack him, they were really ready to. I remember hearing it at that time, and even though I was never a fan of Pee Wee Herman, I could clearly see that it was a homophobic attack, because I kept waiting for more details to be revealed about what he had done, and it just sounded so tiny. He went to a gay adult cinema and watched a movie. I don't think I heard anything about him touching anyone else, and I don't think he touched anyone else, but just that he touched himself in a way that other people in the cinema could see, in a darkened cinema could see. It all sounded so outrageous to me.
That contrast, it kind of hit me too, how someone can be so famous but still completely unknown as a person. I mean, it kind of feels true for a lot of queer people, don't you reckon? Being seen but not being seen for who you really are.
Yeah, I did say in my review that I have this resentment for that sort of people. I guess I grew up in a time when coming out was a thing. Do you remember when Jason Donovan was outed, you know, erroneously, and then the Face magazine got shut down as a result? I came from that climate when AIDS was really, really serious. You know, people were dying in big numbers at the time, and yet you had very little kind of people speaking out, people that you knew who were powerful and rich, who had so much influence and were going to have so much impact politically and socially, but they just refused to help. You know, I'm thinking even people like Rock Hudson, who, you know, most likely himself had died of AIDS, just couldn't come out. And I guess I was young and then, probably very naive. And I just felt so much resentment at those people. And Pee Wee would be one of those people. To me, he was clearly queer, but he didn't want to come out to be part of that the movement. And then when he got found out, and he never admitted, but he got found out in those circumstances, which pretty much says everything, you know, to me. And I was more angry about him than anything.
Do you think that? I mean, he mentioned the fear. He wouldn't have been able to have a career had he been out. Do you think the fear plays into it, as in, you know, my career will come to an end if I am out? And it's
it clearly ended his career, you know, and he, for something, like I said, it's very, very small.
But do you reckon if he had come out, do you reckon those things would have happened? Because they couldn't have, could they? Or would they have been even more on the lookout for these things?
I think if he had come out, he probably would have community support. Mm. I imagine so. I imagine that there would have been more community support. At that time, there were organizations already, you know, and obviously in infancy stages, but there were, I imagine there would be groups that would come out in support of him and saying how ridiculous this whole situation was, of them trying to send him, I don't know, send him to jail or something for going to an adult cinema. I think there would have been community support. And I don't think there was any community support because, like me, you know, you don't, if you're not going to associate yourself with us, then why should we help you?
Susie Rong, it is called Pee-wee as Himself. You can catch it now as a documentary. What are we watching next week?
Gondola is a silent movie from Georgia, which you can find on SBS On Demand. It is a romance from 2023 about two female cable car operators. I hope it is charming as it sounds. We'll discuss Gondola when I see you next Tuesday. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.